Our reading tonight will be Leviticus chapter 13. I call you now to give your careful attention to this reading of God's most holy, inspired, infallible, and inerrant word from Leviticus chapter 14. We will begin in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priests. And the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body. And if the hair in the diseased area has turned white, and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. But if the spot is white in the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the diseased person for 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the 7th day. And if in his eyes the disease is checked and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up for another 7 days. And the priest shall examine him again on the 7th day. And if the diseased area has faded and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only an eruption. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the eruption spreads in the skin, after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again before the priest. And the priest shall look, and if the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the leprous disease. When a man is afflicted with a leprous disease, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall look. And if there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and there is raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic leprous disease in the skin of his body, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if the leprous disease breaks out in the skin, so that the leprous disease covers all the skin of the diseased person from head to foot, so far as the priest can see, then the priest shall look, and if the leprous disease has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean of the disease. It is all turned white, and he is clean. But when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him unclean. Raw flesh is unclean, for it is a leprous disease. But if the raw flesh recovers and turns white again, then he shall come to the priest. And if the priest shall examine him, and if the disease has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce the diseased person clean. He is clean. If there is this in the skin of one's body a boil and it heals, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling or a reddish white spot, then it shall be shown to the priest. And the priest shall look, and if it appears deeper than the skin and its hair has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprous disease that has broken out in the boil. But if the priest examines it, and there is no white hair in it, and is not deeper than the skin, but is faded, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spreads in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a disease. But if the spot remains in one place and does not spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or when the body has a burn on its skin, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a spot, reddish-white or white, the priest shall examine it. And if the hair in the spot has turned white and appears deeper than the skin, then it is a leprous disease. It is broken out in the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprous disease. But if the priest examines it, and there's no white hair in the spot, and it's no deeper than the skin, but is faded, the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And the priest shall examine him the 7th day. If it is spreading in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprous disease. But if the spot remains in one place and does not spread in the skin, but is faded, it is a swelling from the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar of the burn. When a man or woman has a disease on the head or the beard, the priest shall examine the disease. And if it appears deeper than the skin, and the hair in it is yellow and thin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an itch, a leprous disease of the head or the beard. And if the priest examines the itching disease, and it appears no deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut up the person with the itching disease for 7 days. And on the 7th day, the priest shall examine the disease. If the itch has not spread, and there is in it no yellow hair, and the itch appears to be no deeper than the skin, then he shall shave himself, but the itch he shall not shave, and the priest shall shut up the person with the itching disease for another 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest shall examine the itch, and if the itch is not spread in the skin, and it appears to be no deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the itch spreads in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall examine him. And if the itch has spread in the skin, the priest need not seek for the yellow hair. He is unclean. But if in his eyes the itch is unchanged and black hair has grown in it, the itch is healed and he is clean. And the priest shall pronounce him clean. When a man or a woman has spots on the skin of the body, white spots, the priest shall look, and if the spots on the skin of the body are a dull white, it is leukoderma that has broken out in the skin. He is clean. But if a man's hair falls out from his head, he is bald. He is clean. And if a man's hair falls out from his forehead, he has baldness of the forehead, and he is clean. But if there is on the bald head or on the bald forehead a reddish-white diseased area, it is a leprous disease breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine him. And if the disease swelling is a reddish-white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, like the appearance of a leprous disease in the skin of the body, he is a he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest must pronounce him unclean. His disease is on his head. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His disease, his dwelling shall be outside the camp. When there is a case of leprous disease in a garment, whether a woolen or a linen garment, in warp or woof of linen or wool, or in a skin or in anything made of skin, if the disease is greenish or reddish in the garment, or in the skin or in the warp or the woof or in any article made of skin, it is a leprous disease, and it shall be shown to the priest. And the priest shall examine the disease and shut up that which has the disease for 7 days. Then he shall examine the disease on the seventh day. If the disease has spread in the garment, in the warp or the woof or in the skin, whatever be the use of the skin, the disease is a persistent leprous disease. It is unclean, and he shall burn the garment, or the warp, or the woof, the wool or the linen, or any article made of skin that is diseased, for it is a persistent leprous disease. It shall be burned in the fire. And if the priest examines, and if the disease is not spread in the garment, in the warp or woof, or in any article made of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the disease, and he shall shut it up for another 7 days. And the priest shall examine the diseased thing after it has been washed. And if the appearance of the diseased area has not changed, though the disease has not spread, it is unclean. You shall burn it with fire, burn it in the fire, whether the rod is on the back or on the front. But if the priest examines and the diseased area has faded after it has been washed, he shall tear it out of the garment or the skin or the warp or the woof. Then if it appears again in the garment, in the warp or the woof, or in any article made of skin, it is spreading. You shall burn with fire whatever has the disease. But the garment, or the warp, or the woof, or any article made of skin from which the disease departs, when you have washed it, shall then be washed a second time and be clean. This is the law for a case of leprous disease in a garment of wool or linen, either in the warp or the woof, or in any article made of skin, to determine whether it is clean or unclean. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we do ask tonight for wisdom, that you might help us to understand how on the whole canvas of creation, even on that which is, seems as ordinary as common as human skin, you are teaching us, O Lord, the fundamental principles of life before you, that because of our sin, we are dirty. Indeed, we have a disease. And it is only through the washing of your grace and Holy Spirit that we can be clean before you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for people who are concerned about their appearance, there's perhaps nothing more important for them than the health and appearance of their skin. Marketers, companies, it didn't take them long to figure this out. The hair and makeup industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. You go into a mall, you go into a big department store, What do they have? Right in the middle. Makeup section, right? I mean, if you want to look good, you got to wear nice clothes, right? But if you really want to look good, you got to put on some makeup, right? Some of you guys are looking at me like, no, not really. Well, if you're in show business and you have to be a news anchor on TV, guess what those guys put on? Yeah, probably a little too much makeup sometimes from the shows I've seen. It's amazing how quickly that's caught on. You see, if you are self-conscious about your appearance, that is one thing you will return to. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying if you wear makeup, you're therefore self-conscious about your appearance. Nor am I saying that the Bible condemns the use of cosmetics. It doesn't. In fact, you read portions of the Bible, like the Song of Solomon and elsewhere, it commends physical beauty in its rightful place and in its proper context. God created us spiritual and physical. He created inner beauty and he created outer beauty. Certainly, the Bible puts the emphasis on that inner beauty of righteousness, but it does not negate necessarily the external beauty. But the Bible does say, even in the Old Testament, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Well, if you read Leviticus chapter 13, you might come to a little bit different conclusion, huh? Because what is this chapter filled with? It's filled with all kinds of rules and regulations regarding skin. Indeed, what you can see on the outside of a person. It has a long list, much of what gets into some pretty technical medical details as to how to diagnose exactly what's going on with somebody's skin. Now, it's interesting, humans and our skin, we don't think about this a lot, but it can cause problems for us. I've had a number of infant children in my home, and it's very troubling sometimes as a parent when the kids have skin problems, even as infants. They can sometimes break out in rashes, and you're wondering, what's going on here? What am I supposed to do? Or perhaps they have a terrible case of acne, and you wonder, how can I help that? And it's visible, it's noticeable. You see, it's an outward difficulty that we see with our eyes. It stands out to us. And haven't you ever noticed this, that if someone gets injured and you can see it, you tend to be filled with more compassion for the person? For example, if somebody comes into church and they have bandages all over their face, you go, whoa, what happened to you? You automatically have this sense of compassion for them because of what you can see is wrong with them. But if someone comes in with some kind of nerve pain in their back, what do we typically do? Well, I know what I've done sometimes. I look at them and I'm like, is that person really hurt? Because they look fine, right? Indeed, when we look at skin and problems with it, we have that which is on the outside of us, that which is very visible, presenting before us, that which can highly affect us as to the condition of a person. Perhaps you're seeing why the theological dermatology contained in Leviticus 13 is so important. That's the title of the sermon, by the way. Theological dermatology, dermatology having to do with the skin. In order to understand what Moses is getting at here and why these regulations are here, we're going to look at three things tonight. First, we need to look further at the significance of human skin as a means of determining whether someone is clean or unclean. Why does that stand out here and why is it important? Secondly, we need to look at the various distinctions that are used to determine what is clean and unclean. And then finally, we need to see the provision that the passage makes for moving from being unclean to being clean. So first of all, let's consider in a little more depth the significance of this passage as it focuses on human skin as a means of determining what is clean and unclean. Now, technically here, we have regulations about skin, about hair, and about some clothing. Okay, but all of that has to do with the surface area, the kind of outer elements of the human body. Okay? Now, again, we've talked about already how it's a multi-billion dollar industry, the care of our skin, both cosmetically to look beautiful and medically to make sure things are healthy. Now, this passage speaks a great deal about leprosy. Now, that's a very broad term in the Bible. It covers all kinds of skin diseases, including what we would properly call leprosy, which has largely been eradicated from the Western world, although there are some third world areas where leprosy still breaks out. All these kinds of diseases are highly contagious. So we can understand on one level that there's a medical purpose to this, right? And that's clearly here in the passage. But when we dig deeper, what we find is that Moses and what the Lord is doing through Moses is he's teaching us fundamental, basic spiritual principles on that which can be seen and observed in the daily interactions of human life. Again, if you go back a couple chapters ago, what did we have? We had theological zoology. God took the whole animal kingdom and he cut it up into two basic groups. He created a taxonomy. Remember that word? And he said, these animals are going to be clean and these are going to be unclean. They got to chew the cud and have a cloven foot. Y'all remember what those words mean? We should go back and listen to the sermon again, right? But what the Lord did is on the canvas, think of it as a painting, the canvas of all the created creatures, he made the distinction between the clean and the unclean, and he helped Israel to know the distinctions they had to make to understand what could be eaten and what could not be eaten. In the previous passage in Leviticus chapter 12, we had regulations about purification after childbirth, regulations that obviously largely affected women, but would also affect the families in which those women lived, because of course the process of purification affected everybody. And so built into the basic cycle of human life, and there's nothing more basic than reproduction and having offspring, it's been done all throughout the history of the world, so in basic ordinary cycles of life, times of cleanness and times of uncleanness would be built right into it. So in terms of time, the temporal aspect of our existence, just like in all the animals, so in time there are times of uncleanness and there are times of cleanness. Well, so also here in Leviticus chapter 13. Here we have that which is visibly appearing in our interactions with our fellow human beings, our skin, that which everybody can see. And that now becomes the canvas for human beings upon which it will be determined, ceremonially speaking, whether they are clean or whether they are unclean. Again, skin is what we see in terms of one another. We're made up of lots of things. We have bones, we have organs, we have muscles, we have tendons, we have tissues. We got a whole lot of water in us too. But 99% of what you see on a person is their skin. And indeed, as Leviticus seeks to present to us a kind of visual representation of spiritual principles, so great emphasis is upon the skin. 59 entire verses, one of the longest chapters we've read thus far. Indeed, beyond that, leprosy is not a pretty disease. It's something that appears quite ugly. And so the Lord is reminding us that even as the skin in its healthy condition represents beauty, so also in its disease condition, it represents ugliness. And so it is with sin and righteousness. Purity and righteousness is a beautiful thing, something that is attractive, something that we would desire. Instead, the disease of sin within our hearts, that is something revolting, something that we should turn away from. So in other words, what the Lord has done here in a way is he's turned us inside out. Instead of the heart and its spiritual condition being the thing that you're going to determine what's clean and unclean, you can't, because you can't see it, right? Instead, he flips things inside out and he makes the skin the means by which we determine it. Well, we can understand a little bit about why the Lord would do that, but we also have to understand some of the distinctions that the Lord uses to help us understand that. That's the second point. Now again, this is very important, just as a general point. The Lord doesn't just say, watch out, there's some unclean animals out there, so stay away from all the animals, right? Just like he doesn't say, if you have a kid, after it you're going to have a time of uncleanness, so don't have kids, right? And so he doesn't say, if you see anything wrong with somebody's skin that you think doesn't look right, then automatically everybody's unclean. No, in all these instances, especially with the animals and with the skin, he gives careful distinctions to help Israel learn and discern the difference between what is clean and what is unclean. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about why that is, but let's first look at the distinctions that are used. I've noted at least five here. I think there's a couple more, but the point here is that you see that there's distinctions. There's some thinking you have to make. So if I don't get all of them, you can email me later and say, Pastor, you forgot about this one. I'll say, okay, I'm unclean. We'll cover it next week maybe, okay? But for now, let's just do these five. First of all, one thing they have to look for is whether the hair on the flesh turned white because of the disease. For example, if you look at verse 3 and 4, and let's look at verse 10, it says that the priest is going to look, and if there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and there's raw flesh in the swelling, it's a chronic leprous disease. So, is the problem with the skin something that has changed the color of the hair? You see, it's not enough that it's just a spot or a discoloration. Not that it just kind of looks like it. It has to have turned the hair white. That's one of the telltale signs, and the priest needs to look for it, and the people need to look for it. Secondly, another thing they need to look for is whether raw flesh appears in the disease. In verse 14, we read this stated directly, and it's implicitly referred to over and over again. It says, when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. Raw flesh, verse 15, is unclean, for it is a leprous disease. In other words, if the spot or the trouble with the skin, wherever it is, has opened up into a kind of open wound and raw flesh, in other words, the surface covering has been taken away and that undersurface area is exposed, the raw flesh, then it's unclean. Thirdly, in verse 21, it tells us that if whatever it is not deeper than the skin, then he's only going to be shut up 7 days, and after it clears up, it's going to be unclean. In other words, is it only skin deep, right? You wonder where that phrase comes, right here. That's where it comes from, Leviticus chapter 13. You see, if it's only skin deep, if it doesn't go down further, then it's just a surface problem and it doesn't penetrate deeper into human beings. Fourthly, in verses 22 to 23, we have another distinction, which has to do with whether the spot remains in one place and it's localized or whether it spreads. Whenever you go to a doctor, don't they ask you this? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Or it's staying about the same? Right? That's always what they ask you. And if it's getting worse or if it's spreading, that means it's something to be concerned about. And so that's another thing that the priest needs to look to. And then, fifthly, we can also look at the issue of hair loss. I've been waiting years to preach on this passage, okay? Verse 40. This is the distinction you got to look for. If a man's hair falls out from his head, he is bald and he is clean. Right here on the back of the head. Okay? This hair gone, no problem. Clean as a whistle. And guess what? If it's baldness on the forehead, you're A-okay. It's just fine. Okay? Now they have all these hair restoration surgeries. Okay? And, you know, it looks pretty painful to me. I'd love it if they could give like a little pill to make the hair just start growing right back. Wouldn't that be nice? Okay? But you know what? If you're doing that, it's only for cosmetic purposes. It's not so that you can be clean before God, because baldness is clean. But if there's in that bald area that reddish-white disease and the balding is from the disease, then it becomes unclean. And there's some other distinctions here. In fact, as you read through this, you think that in a way, the priests are in a way medical doctors of a certain kind, examining the patients to determine and to diagnose exactly what's troubling this person's skin. And indeed, we must acknowledge that there is, not primarily, but secondarily, a health factor, a health concern here, right? Because these leprous diseases were highly contagious. And there was an aspect of God's mercy, both for the one who had it and for others who might have it passed to them, that they would be quarantined, okay? And so we can certainly point out in terms of general equity, okay? This is not the spiritual application of the passage, but general equity. There is a Christian principle behind quarantining people, okay? Now, when should you do that, right? Well, it depends. How serious is the disease? If you got a cough, everybody's going to get a cough, right? I don't think you can really quarantine somebody or force them to be quarantined because they got a cough, right? Or if it's a close family member that you have to care for, it's going to be pretty tough for you to not fulfill your vows to them or your obligations to them. If you have a cold, well, I'm not coming in there to help you because I don't want to get sick, right? That's not what it's talking about. But there is one aspect to general public health that's involved here, that we should not expose other people to serious bad diseases. And likewise, I would say, and encourage you to consider, that it's also, if you can prevent yourself from getting a significant disease at low risk to yourself, in terms of a general equity principle, the Bible would commend that to you as well. Now, that's a decision that you have to make on your own in terms of what the risks could be and to be well informed about it, but we have to point out the general principle involved here. Part of what God is doing, not primary but secondary, is ensuring that these diseases, as a mercy, would not spread rampantly among the people. But there's a more fundamental purpose to this. God's calling Israel to be discerning. God's calling Israel, and he's calling us to think carefully, to distinguish between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. You see, it's not simple. It's not easy. You know, and sometimes when we're Christians, especially when we're new Christians, we think of sanctification and holiness and discerning what is right and wrong and what we can do and what we can't do as something simple. And many Christians take the approach that say, look, if I'm not sure it's okay, I'm just not going to do it. Now, there's something to that in the Bible. If you're not sure about it for yourself, okay, and you don't know if it's right, sure, you can err on the side of caution, right? What is not of faith is sin. And if you're a weaker brother, like Paul says, sure, don't participate if you don't know for certain whether it's something the Lord allows you to do. But he calls us to be discerning and to think carefully about what is clean and what is unclean. And sometimes when you're interacting with culture, you have to think really carefully about this. I'll give you an example. Art and music. Okay. There's a lot of art and music that is just filled with filth, right? At the same time, if you think carefully about it, you can still discern what is beautiful musically or artistically, even in spite of the filth. Okay. Now, there's lines that have to be drawn, right? There's certain visual things that we might see and sin merely in seeing. For example, pornographic images. You see one and you're looking at one deliberately, you're sinning, period. But nevertheless, we sometimes read stories and literature, and because it has some element that we think is not Christian or not good, we just want to avoid it. No, you have to learn to distinguish what is unholy in the book, but then what is holy? What is there that reflects who God is and how he made the world? Because here's the thing, even man at his most rebellious point cannot escape reflecting the fact that he is made in God's image. And learning to think carefully and teaching our children to discern carefully about that is what this book is indicating. They must learn to distinguish it. Even as they have to look at the skin disease, they don't just look and say, oh, sorry, you got a red mark on your skin. You're living by yourself for 7 days. See ya. That's the easy way to do it, right? No, the priest has to examine. The priest has to think. The priest has to discern. Is it really unclean? Or is it truly clean? Distinctions are used. Principles are applied. A priest is someone who is appointed to be specially trained in these things and to help the people. Just as today, you have pastors and elders who can help guide you through those sticky situations, right? But nevertheless, he's calling us to be discerning as we examine these things. But thirdly, we need to look also at the provision that this passage makes for moving from a state of uncleanness to cleanness. As you read through all the details and all the strict regulations that are here, and as you consider all the possible problems that might happen to our human skin, you might think that the emphasis is totally negative. Indeed, we read over and over again that if in fact it does turn out, if it appears that it might be an unclean disease, he's shut up for 7 days, he's examined 7 days later, you know it, if it is leprous disease, he is declared unclean. And guess what he's got to do? Well, it tells us in verse 46 that he's going to remain unclean as long as he has the disease, and he's going to live alone, and his dwelling is outside the camp. He's got to be cut off, quarantined from all the people, his family, his loved ones, and everywhere. In fact, when this happened to greater degrees later, they created leper colonies where people who had leprosy would create their own kind of underground communities. It was not a fun or happy place to live, and it certainly was not a place that promoted healing from leprosy to be around a bunch of other people who have similar problems, right? Yes, it appears that the emphasis in the passage is negative, uncleanness when bad things happen, but we must not forget that throughout, interwoven through the whole thing, is a provision, a gracious provision, by which through a priest and his declaration, those who are unclean can be made clean. How does this work out? Well, one thing that has to happen is that 7-day waiting period. Okay? 7 days. Now, we all know, I hope it's obvious why there needs to be 7 days. That's a cycle of fullness. Just as God created the world in 6 days and rested the seventh day, so that cycle, which represents a time period of fullness, has to pass. And if that time period ends, they enter into the rest, so to speak, from the uncleanness, and they can be declared clean. But not just the 7-day waiting period. In some circumstances, there had to be the washing of someone's clothes. Now, you know, of course, if you've ever had anything that disease of any kind, or maybe lice, I hate to even mention that because it freaks people out. All you have to do is say lice, and some people are like, oh no, there's lice here, and they start itching the back of their scalp because they're worried about it, or they have to check their hair every night to make sure they have lice is no fun. But you know, if you have lice, you gotta wash everything and stick it in bags and do all kinds of work for months, it seems like, to get rid of all that lice. Well, so it was here. They had to undergo certain ceremonial washings, the washings of the clothes and the washings of skin. Now, you might think, oh, well, that's a big hassle to have to do all that, like I have to do it with lice. Well, yes, it's a hassle, but isn't it a wonderful provision of God that although there may be a period of time where they are declared clean, that can come to an end through the washing of water. Moreover, in some instances, that process of purification, this is the third thing, had to do with burning, with fire. And so it was with the garments, the woolen garments, the linen garments, where perhaps a leprous disease or whatever it was, whether it was a bacteria or something else. Remember, if you're wearing an animal skin or something else, if it got into the clothes, they could be burned with fire. And after all those things were eradicated and purified, so the period of cleanness would come. I hope it's not difficult to see the spiritual realities reflected here. That 7-day waiting period, as that represents the period in which we wait for God's Sabbath rest from our sins. The washings that represent, of course, the washing of our sins by the Holy Spirit. And the burning with fire. All throughout the Bible, the Spirit and God's power is described as fire that purifies us, right? And he shall purify the sons of Levi, right? He's like a refining fire. And so it is throughout this passage, interwoven in it. The emphasis is negative. You are unclean if you have these diseases, but you are not left there permanently. There is a provision and possibility through God's grace to bring you out of it. And indeed, in that, do we not see the compassion of God? Indeed, it might seem like a fairly heartless passage. It's very technical. It's external. It's like going to a doctor with terrible bedside manner. You go up to him, he looks at the skin, it looks like you got a leprous disease, you're unclean, now you gotta go live outside of town in that little hut, come back in 7 days and I'll see if I can do anything for you then. Sounds pretty heartless, right? But it's not. Indeed, we know the misery that the person would be in, not because of their physical disfigurement or pain, but also from their isolation from the rest of God's people, and most fundamentally from God himself. Again, as verse 46 said, he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean, he shall live alone, his dwelling shall be outside the camp. Indeed, when you think about that, and you turn to the New Testament, and you think of some of the things Jesus did, perhaps, maybe, the love and compassion of Christ becomes even clearer. For indeed, at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, it tells us this wonderful story of what Jesus did to a leper. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, as Jesus was going throughout the synagogues and teaching and preaching the gospel, casting out demons, and most importantly, preaching the word. In verse 40, it says that a leper came to him and implored and kneeled before him and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now let's stop there for a minute and think about what this leper wants. The leper just doesn't want to be healed of his skin disease, as terrible as that is, to have the medical aspect of it taken away. The leper doesn't just simply want to no longer have to live alone outside the camp, away from the people. The leper doesn't simply ask to be freed from the pain and misery he's in. The leper specifically asks and says, if you will, you can make me clean. clean before God, able to go into his presence and worship him, able to be among God's people where God is also present. He has a theological basis for his imploring desire to Jesus. And note what he says. I believe, I know, I have faith that you are able to do it. You have the power. If you want to do it, if you're willing, you can do it. And what does Jesus answer? Mark tells us, moved with pity, with compassion. It tells us that Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Note first of all the compassion and mercy of Jesus, that he looks in him in his miserable condition and he has pity on him. And so it is with us, spiritually speaking. We are sinners. We are unclean. We don't deserve to be healed. But he looks at us and he feels sorry for us. He feels pity for us. And here it tells us quite dramatically that Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him and he said, I am willing, be clean. The priest in the Old Testament didn't do that. The priest in the Old Testament examined it and made sure that it had healed on its own. And once it had healed, then he could say, it is clean. But Jesus touches the leper and by the power of his word declares, be clean, and he is clean. And again, what happens after that? It says in verse 44, Jesus says, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. This leper was to be assigned to the very priests that ministered in the Old Testament, that the one priest that could truly make them clean had come. But you have to ask yourself, where'd the leprosy go? Go back again to verse 30, or go back again to verse 41. Because again, let's think about what it means that Jesus moved with pity, stretched out his hand and touched him. Would you do that to a leper? No. There's a reason they live outside the camp. That's a leprous disease. Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the leper. And leprosy was gone. Where'd it go? You got to turn to Matthew 8 to see that. That's the parallel gospel passage that contains this story as well, the Jesus cleansing of a leper. And what's it say in the middle of that passage? Again, Matthew loves to quote the Old Testament. This all took place to fulfill this passage. Well, what's he say about this? In verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Where'd the leprosy go? Well, you remember when he touched the woman with a flow of blood that made her unclean, touched Jesus? Jesus said power had gone out from him. He took upon her uncleanness. So also with the leper, when Jesus touched the leper, even as he had already touched him in his humanity by becoming a true human being in his birth and through that process of uncleanness, so now he touches him in his leprosy and takes from him his uncleanness and puts his cleanness in its place. He bore our illnesses and carried our diseases. That's just not a medical statement. That's a liturgical, Levitical statement. Jesus is carrying our uncleanness. Indeed, you might have thought this morning when you looked at the bulletin, what in the world does Romans 4 and imputation of righteousness have to do with skin diseases in Leviticus 13? Absolutely everything. Because what Paul declared in Romans and elsewhere, that Jesus took our sin, imputed to him, and credited to us his righteousness, that is visually portrayed here in Leviticus chapter 13. All our uncleanness, not of the skin, but of the heart and the filth of sin, Jesus took to himself, not really as if he became a sinner, but legally he bore it, cleansing us, procuring for us the Holy Spirit to wash us with the washing of the water of the Spirit, to purify us with his fire, and to grant us entrance not just into an earthly temple to offer sacrifices of bulls and goats, but to enter into the heavenly temple through his blood, his purifying blood, and worship him in heavenly praise forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage. and for how it points us directly to Jesus and to his work. Help us, Lord, not to think that somehow you are concerned about the appearance of our skin. But Lord, help us to see, even as you were teaching Israel through what they could see, the internal spiritual realities of how we interact with you. That apart, O Lord, from your cleansing grace, from your bringing us to our Sabbath rest, from the washing of the water of the Spirit, from the purifying fire that he has within us to sanctify us, we cannot be in your presence. Indeed, we deserve in our sin to be cast away from you, to live alone, apart from you and the people of God. But we thank you that in Jesus we have been made clean, because he is able and he is willing and has had compassion upon us in our misery. For we ask all this in his name. Amen.